Buenos días. I need some energy. You know, I didn't drink my coffee. You know what I'm saying? Joking. Good morning, everybody. Come on. Let's wake up. I feel like a nettle right now. Right? So what do you do? Here's the name of the series. What do you do when all hell breaks loose? What do you do when all hell breaks loose in your life? Good morning, Eastlake. Glad to see every single one of you here today. You guys want to know why I'm so happy to see you guys here? You guys want to know why? Because I know you're in a safe place. This is a place where it's okay not to be okay. This is a place where it's okay not to be okay. Once again, welcome to East Lake Church Playas. Come on, guys. So if you're here and you think you're perfect, this is probably not the place for you. Woo! Anyway, let's go. So what do you do when all hell breaks loose? What do you do? Now, for those of you who watch the news, I know a lot of you watch the news, or maybe you don't, but when you do watch the news, you hear a lot of stories about all hell breaking loose all over the place every single day, right? Every day, all hell breaking loose. Whether it's a soccer team being trapped in a cave or a tornado ripping through a community, when things happen, all of us hope and pray that everything turns out with a happy ending. All of us, right? Like, for example, we all loved when E.T. went home, right? You guys remember the movie? E.T. Go Home? Remember, I cried. For those that maybe it's been a long time since that movie, hey, that was a cool movie that maybe you should show your kids, right? E.T. Go Home. E.T. Go Home. I cried. How about this one? We loved it when Nemo, you know, goes back with his dad. We loved it. How about the 3 hours of bad acting and finally the ship goes down and Leonardo DiCaprio freezes to death? Happy ending, right? Yeah. That was a happy ending. I was like, man, yeah, muérete. No, sir, I'm joking. So one of the greatest phrases that we hear a lot is, and they live happily ever after. Right? You hear it a lot in movies and stuff like that. And we want that. We want people to live happily ever after. And when it doesn't happen, we get disappointed. We want our lives to end with a happily ever after. Right? From elementary. You know, we dream and we start developing ideas of what our life is going to look like. We see ourselves in a with a home with a white picket fence, right? That's where we see ourselves. We kind of imagine or dream what kind of car we're going to drive. Remember, I used to want a Corvette. You know, and I would be driving down the freeway and I'd be counting them. There goes one. There goes two. There goes three. Right? Because that's what I wanted, a Corvette. And some of us are sometimes in an elementary or middle school or dreaming about who we're going to marry. Most of the time at that age, it's probably your friend's sister. You know what I'm saying? Wow. No? It was just me? Wow. Yeah. So we're dreaming about, you know, the kids we're going to have, how many kids we're going to have, and where we're going to work. Maybe not. Right? I don't think I was dreaming about where I'm going to work. You know? No. No, I wasn't dreaming that. I was dreaming about my friend's sister. So anyways, but the reality is this, that we're confronted every day with chaos. And we come to a realization that it's not always going to be rainbows, tacos, and micheladas, right? It's not always going to be that. We live in a broken world. We live in a broken world. So the question that all of us are forced to wrestle with on a regular basis is, how do I maintain hope in what seems to be a hopeless, broken world? How do I maintain hope? You know, just thinking about the recent stories, Hurricane Florence, the devastation of Hurricane Florence, the never-ending political battles, the wars, the shooting after shooting after shooting after shooting after shooting. It seems that like there's an endless list of all hell breaking loose every single day, right? And part of the reality of life is that there's always going to be days and seasons in which we're going to have to try to maintain hope in situations and seasons and in relationships that sometimes feel hopeless. So for the purpose of this talk, here's your first feeling. Grab your pens. You guys ready? You guys ready? Okay, here we go. Hope is wherever I place my confidence. For the purpose of this talk, hope is someone or something that we look to for hope. Hope is someone or something that we look to for hope. Sometimes it's our education. You know, we think we got it going on with the education, so we place our hope in that. Sometimes our hope is on money, because we think, you know, a good bank account, that, you know, our hope is in our money. Sometimes it's on our relationship. Sometimes our hope is in our wife or our husband. You know, maybe the boyfriend or the career or the job title. Hey, I'm a lawyer. You know, we place our hope on that. All of us have someone or something in which we placed our hope in, but we don't know what it is. We're oblivious to it. In fact, the only time we ever think about hope is when we begin to feel hopeless. And when we begin to feel hopeless, that's when we realize that the person or thing that we put our confidence in isn't coming through for us. It's a realization that we put our hope on the wrong thing. For example, what do you do when the person you thought you were going to grow old with decides to leave you? What do you do when you dream your entire life of having all these kids and all this stuff, and you're trying and trying and trying and trying and trying, and then you find out that it's not going to happen? What do you do when you planned on being married by 30, right? And now you're 40 and you haven't found that special person? What do you do when somebody promised you to be there, maybe with financial help or some kind of help, and they don't come through? What do you do when your spouse decides that they're not coming to Mexico with you after you've been deported? What do you do when the foundation of your hope starts to fall apart? None of us know where we're placing our hope in until we experience a storm. This is where followers of Jesus ought to be different. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, our hope and expectations are not grounded on our relationships. Our hope and expectations are not grounded on that special person that's going to make us happy. Our hope and expectations are not grounded on what we achieve or accomplish or accumulate. Our hope is not grounded in our reputation or how many friends we have on Facebook. Our hope is grounded in the one that is truly special, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 33:20-22 says this: "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our heart rejoice. Our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Letting your own unfailing love surround us. Surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone." I think it's impossible for us to imagine a world in which our confidence is fully placed in God. All of us, we're taught different things when we're growing up. Our parents are teaching us different things. This is what you need to be successful. Hey, son, all you need is the right education. Right? Hey, son, all you need is the right connections, bro. Hey, all you need is the right connections, homie, you know? Hey, son, all you need is to marry the right person. Hey, son, all you need to do is to do the right thing and stay away from trouble. Hey, son, all you need to do is stay away from drugs and alcohol, and life is going to turn out beautiful. Even though those things are great boundaries or guidelines, the reality is that it's possible that even if you do the right thing, everything that your parents taught you, everything that you learned in church, everything you did, everything, boom, 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 check the box, check the box, check the box, check the box. Our life can still fall apart. To put my hope in God means that even though I don't know what the future holds, I know who holds the future. To hope in God means that I know that the biggest hurts and pains in my life aren't going to be wasted. To hope in God means that I know my failures aren't fatal. God will use them for something bigger in my life. To hope in God means that ultimately I believe that God's ways are better than my ways. Hope in God means that even though I'm going through a difficult season, even when it feels like, God, where are you? I'm confident that God is with me. But because we know he's with me, doesn't mean that everything is going to turn out happily ever after. The Apostle Paul is a perfect example of that. Right? He was one of the most influential leaders in the church. He often wrote letters to the Jesus followers for guidance, and 13 of his letters ended up in the Bible. And yet Paul encountered prison time. He encountered shipwrecks. He was beaten with rods, and he was stoned. They left him because they thought he was dead. So I want to take some time and talk about one of those moments. So the Apostle Paul was a Jew. And the problem that other people had is that he interacted with people that were not Jews. So they were questioning him. The Jewish community was questioning him, and there were rumors about what Paul was believed and what he was teaching. On one occasion while in Jerusalem, a riot breaks out, you know? People were throwing rocks, and there was like a full-on riot. And they arrested him, and they didn't know why he was getting arrested. They thought that he was responsible for the riot. So what, What happened, he gets arrested, and what should have been, hey, you know, fingerprint, boom, take a picture, hey, don't do it again, ended up being 2 years. Wow. 2 years. For those of us who maybe been arrested, well, you know, waiting for that trial date or court date is very long, right? Not knowing what's going to happen is the longest wait. How much time am I going to get? Waited for 2 years until they finally decided that he was going to Rome to stand trial. So he's placed on a ship, right? And with a couple of 100 other prisoners, this is not the Carnival Cruise where they're going to come and, you know, feed you and, hey, lunchtime, dinner time, dance, and, you know, they're going to come and make your bed and all that. This is not the Carnival Cruise. So the several weeks into the journey, they find themselves in a scary situation, a storm. You know, here's what happened. Acts 27, 13 to 15 will be on the screen. Here it is. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up an anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and the wind of typhoon strength called the Northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. Imagine that. Can you guys picture that? You know, I'm going to go on a little shrimp. Right? The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. It's like, hey, you know, see where the wind takes us. Have you ever been caught in a storm? I have many times. And here's a few. I had no clue that with the privilege of being a pastor, that it would be difficult. Even trying to get our leadership together on one page is not easy. And still having to stay on course on the mission. I had no clue that pastoring comes with a whole lot of disappointments when you see people you care about make the wrong decisions. I had no clue that I would feel responsible for those wrong decisions that they were making that had even led to death. That has happened here. Where I felt responsible, hey, I could have done this, I could have said, I should have, would have, would have. I had no clue that pastoring the church comes with a daily dose of doubt, of fear, of unbelief, temptation, and still needing to stay on course with the mission. I had no clue how difficult it would be to be in a blended family and not have your son with you for years. I had no clue that my obedience to God would take me to prison where I would feel abandoned by God for not getting me out and then deportation with no job and no money. I had no clue. Have you ever been caught in a storm? Oh. Yeah, he's a pastor because nothing ever happens. Grew up with a white picket fence, very loving parents, and you know, many storms. Have you ever been in a storm? Have you ever been in a storm? Maybe some of you are facing that storm now, today. It's nearing the end of 2018, and this year hasn't turned out the way you planned. So what do you do when you find yourself in the middle of a storm? How do you keep hope in God? Well, here's a few lessons. Here's the first one. For as Jesus followers, these are non-negotiable. Here's the one, first one. Stay put. Stay put. In the midst of the storm, most people want to jump ship. I want to quit. I'm done with this Jesus thing. Hey, where the people disappear all of a sudden. And then you're like, hey, what's going on? I'm going through some stuff. People want to quit. I quit. Sometimes we in the middle of a storm in your marriage or whatever, sometimes we run to someone outside our marriage. Sometimes we run to alcohol. Sometimes we run to drugs. We quit. But the wisest thing is to stay on the ship. Stay on the ship. And here's what happened. Acts 27:30-32. It should be on the screen. It says, then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. Let me stop right there. Can you leave it there, Tony? These sailors didn't want anyone to know that they were planning on jumping ship. Whenever we encounter storms, it's easy to pretend, hey, it's all good. No. Hey, how you doing? I'm good. So we pretend. We put a smile on our face and we don't want to talk about it because we don't want to acknowledge the mess. Let's continue reading. But Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, you will all die unless the sailors stay on board. So the sailors cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. They were letting go of what they were putting their hope in. It's not your job title. It's not your future husband. It's not. When you're in a storm, you're gonna panic. You're gonna stress out. You're gonna cry. I cried. I know I look like a tough guy, right? But I was crying like a baby. When I was in prison, didn't know what was gonna happen. Didn't know how much time I was gonna get. They were talking about 72 months, and I was like, 72 months? Well, I didn't kill anybody, right? So I'm not knowing. I'm freaking out. I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose my wife. I'm going to lose everybody, everything. Sometimes you're going to complain. But we need to stay put. Stay faithful. Stay hopeful. Stay the course. Here's the second lesson. Take care of yourself. Look at what it says. Acts 27:33-34 says this. Just as the day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. You have been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks, he said. Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair of your head will perish. When we're in the midst of a storm, it's easy to stop caring about ourselves. Right? It's easy to stop caring about your physical health. It's easy to stop caring about your emotional health and your financial health or spiritual health. It's easy to just do nothing. But we need to take care of ourselves. Because it's easy to just check out and stop caring. So what do we do? Here's the third one. Give thanks. Anybody can honor God and be thankful to God when life is good. Oh, at the end of the day, it's easy to say, "Oh, God, this was an incredible day. This is so awesome. The Chargers won last week, and they're gonna pull off an upset this week with the best team in the NFL. And the entire day is perfect and wrinkle free. God, thank you. You're so good." But when your hope is truly placed in God, you will go to bed at night and after a really bad day, "Lord, my day was terrible. Very bad. Worst day of my life. Nobody called me back for an interview. I'm still jobless. I'm so disappointed, but my hope is in you. Good night, Lord." Acts 27:35-37 says this: "Then Paul took some bread and gave thanks to God before them all and broke off a piece and ate it. Then everyone was encouraged and began to eat, all 276 of us who were on board." It's hard to see the good in the midst of the bad. It's hard. There's something about thanking God during the storm of life that builds our faith, that keeps us encouraged. There is something about remembering God's faithfulness over the years. Because that will keep us moving forward and gives us confidence about the future. Here's the last one, number four. Hold on to whatever you can hold on to. Hold on to whatever you can hold on to. In the midst of the storm, the ship was near the island of Malta, right? They knew that the ship was going to run aground. They knew that it was going to be destroyed. So they started throwing the anchors down. Here's what was happening. 27:41 Acts. It says, "But they hit a shoal." What is a shoal? It's a shallow part of the ground. "And they ran the ship aground too soon. The bow of the ship stuck fast while the stern was repeatedly smashed by the force of the waves and began to break apart." These people were freaking out. Wah! Wah! You know, you've seen in the movies when stuff like that happening. Wah! I'm running everywhere. They were freaking out. I would too. They were also freaking out that the prisoners were going to escape. And look at what it says here. Acts 27:42-44 says this: "The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape. But the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so they didn't let him carry out their plan. Then he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land. The others held on to the planks and debris from the broken ship, so everyone escaped safely to shore." Everyone held on to whatever they could hold on to. What do you do when you're in the midst of the storm? Do you turn to drugs? Party? Maybe we hold on to, maybe the things that we should hold on to are the encouraging words from our church family. For me, it's like I like to listen to worship music. I connect. Bible verse. That talk about the character and the promises of God. Your life may feel like a bunch of broken pieces. But God can still get you to your destination. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says this. For God said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. You can trust God. You can have hope in Him. Hope that there is more to life than we can see in this moment. Hope that when our life falls apart, God can bring beauty out of ashes. Hope that God can take my regrets, and failures and use them to something meaningful. Hope that people can change. Hope that we can change. Hope that we can die to self righteousness and anger and shame or anything that leads us to be destructive. And it can be buried and resurrected to something new. My prison time was hard. But it prepared me to be here. My deportation was hard. But it helped me find my purpose. I'd like to invite the worship team to please come up. Placing our hope in God doesn't mean that we have a phony baloney smile, right? Fake and pretend everything is okay. It simply means that the tragedies and losses and challenges we face in this world don't result in us saying, hey, I quit. I'm done. Placing our hope in God means that even though it feels like the world around me is falling apart, here's your last feeling. I can hope because God is with me. Seasons will pass. Pain will heal. There will be times when we get to the end of the tunnel and we will realize, hey, that needed to happen. That had to happen. Other seasons and events we'll know about when we're face to face with Jesus. We're not going to get those answers here. But I guarantee you, when we're face to face with Jesus, I guarantee you, whatever happened that you don't have answers to right now, I guarantee you, when we're face to face with Him, it'll be all about love. Jesus, we trust you. You gave your life for us, Lord. I know you want the best for us. I pray for every single one of us that's here. Open our eyes. to you. Allow us to see you. We're guiding us to something better. In Jesus' name, amen.